Hey, it's me, Richie T, and as we look forward to the bands that are going to be rocking our brains out at the 2013 Big Ass Show, Mikkel from the Airborne Toxic event, all the way from Columbus, Ohio, on the phone. Thank you for doing this.
Beautiful, muggy Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah, I used to live in Cleveland. I went on a Mormon religiously affiliated vacation there, so I know exactly the misery which you are existing in right now.
Ain't no party like a Mormon party, right?
Yeah, because a Mormon party stops at 10.
Does that Mitt Romney? Ask Mitt Romney. Because a Mormon party ends at dusk.
Yeah. Before the Holy Ghost goes to bed, we always say. But that's not why you called to talk about it.
You just put on your special underwear and you rock it.
Yeah, right? Listen.
I used to go to Mormon dances growing up. It was weird. I grew up in L.A., and there's a huge Mormon community there, and I used to, it was just like a social activity. You would go. They would have these dances. You'd get invited. I'm not Mormon or anything, but, I would go because all of my friends were, and it was fun, but, you always had to, 6 inches of daylight between you and the person you were dancing with.
Uh-huh.
It was kind of cool because you got to wear a tie. I don't know. And you felt I felt like it was, the 50s, Hello, sir. Yes, I would like to dance with your daughter.
Might I have the pleasure of your daughter's company for this next
totally,
dance?
Yeah. It was actually kind of fun, I gotta say.
You know, the good part about it, though, is since it was the 50s, you also got to ask Dad for money for the date, though, too, right?
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
No, that's what they did. You did, Father, I'd like to take your daughter out on a date, and we're planning on doing this and this, and I imagine it will be about $25, and then the dad has to give you $25.
Is that right?
Well,
as he slowly cleans his gun. That's the kind of dad I want to be. I want to be just like, oh, really, you want to take my daughter out? And then the gun doesn't have to be loaded or anything. You just sit there quietly cleaning it. I mean, he'll get the message. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, you can take my daughter out. Sure. What time are you going to have her back? 11? Well, sir, I was thinking midnight. I said 11.
Do you have kids?
This is such, no, not at all. It's just such a tangent.
No, I love it. I think the idea of you, it's like, yeah. I play in a band, and this is my gun. I've seen some crazy stuff, and if you don't have her home by 11.
I know, right? Listen, buddy. I've seen every trick in the book, all right? So whatever you think you got planned, I'm 2 steps ahead of you, and I got a pistol.
Have her home by 11. And make sure you wear a tie. And make sure you wear a tie.
Man. We have a running joke in the band that we're all going to have kids someday, and they're all going to be old, jazz men, shut up, daddy, yo. 5 years old, yo, dad, what's up with the candy? Let me get some milk.
Is anyone in the band married with kids or have kids?
No, our bass player's married, but nobody has kids or anything. We're just a bunch of idiots in a bus, traveling around. But, it's all someday,
Oh, yeah. But you got to entertain it. It's let's see, we've got a 17-hour bus ride. What if we had kids? And what if
we get
all
into
those
so
kids?
Many different scenarios, man. We've been on the road. We played almost 900 shows now, and we've been on the road 5 of the last 7 years. And when you do that, yeah, you spend a lot of time with the exact same people. So, you get to know people really well, and then once they get to know you, they're over. All the inside jokes become jokes on jokes. So, all our jokes are meta jokes now. Like, just make jokes on the joke.
Uh-huh.
Almost they're numbered. Remember 23? Joke 23.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Holy crap. actually going back, and I don't know why I share this with you, but since we're not talking about anything really music related, let's go here.
That's right. Why not? Let's talk about politics. Let's talk about kids. Why not?
So going back to the religion thing. So when I was out teaching people, we did that. We actually, when you're serving a mission, there were... you'd be out for a while, and then you'd get someone who was brand new, who had no idea what was going on. And
and
you'd always play pranks on those missionaries, right? And so we did a thing one time where it was like, hey, what we should do, the three of us that were all older, and then there was a new person come in, when we say prayers tonight, what we should do is just say numbers, the numbers are bigger prayers, but we're trying to save time. And so we're like, okay, let's say prayers. So we'd say prayers, and in how we do it is everyone would have to take their own turn saying prayers, and so we'd have the new guy say it very last. But we'd be like, Heavenly Father, number one, number three, and then everyone else in the circle is agreeing, going, yeah, number three, amen, you bet. Number 17.
Oh, yeah, number three, that one hit me hard, man. Number three changed my life.
And so, we do all that. And then the fourth guy, you know, he wants to fit in. He wants to know what, you know, he wants to pretend like he's going. And I'll never forget it. He's kneeling in prayer and doing this thing. And the kid's like, Heavenly Father. And you can see he has like one of his eyes open. He's like, number seven. We're like, oh yeah, number seven. That's great. And then he's like, number 19. And then we're like, oh, number 19.
God, that's just not appropriate, yeah. Number 19. I can't believe you brought that up. Gosh.
Just
like what?
Just so funny. Anyway, that's certainly tangential. You guys are coming and doing another big-ass show. That's pretty rad.
I know. We're pretty excited about it. We had, like, a great show last time we were there at the Depot. Is that what that joint's called?
Uh-huh.
Downtown.
Yeah. Beautiful venue. Great sound in that place.
It was such an exciting show. I think it was our first sold-out show we've ever done in Salt Lake. And, you know, it was, like, so much energy and such a great crowd. I remember I walked out, and there was this huge line around the block, and I was like, who are all these people here to see?
Was there somebody else playing in town?
I'm like, what the hell is all this about? And then they were there for our show, which was nice.
Yeah.
It was great. It was a lot of energy. It was really fun.
Yeah, can't wait to have you guys on the 24th of August. It's going to be at the Gallivan Center, which I don't think, because when you did the show before, I think we were out at USANA, and then you've played the Depot, but this is kind of an outdoor place. I think you're really going to love it. We had an awesome time doing our big-ass show there last year, and I think you're really going to enjoy the place. It's right in this like center of downtown. Got big kind of sky-rises next to you, and then it's like playing in a park in the middle of downtown.
Yeah, we loved our last few shows at Salt Lake. It feels like the first time we played, I think we played in this, like, it was like some kind of concrete bunker. I'm trying to remember what it was. And the story of our band in every city has been, like, the first time we play, there's, like, 200. Next time we play, it's, like, 500. Next time we play, it's, like, 1,000. And Salt Lake has been, like, very much like that kind of thing for us. We feel like we've just got a relationship with the city. You know what I mean? Like, almost like, you know, like, we've built it from the ground up. It's good. It's exciting.
You know, I was reading in your bio, and when we spoke before, I don't think that we talked about, like, some of the trials and stuff that you had kind of early on.
Yeah, we went through a lot.
No, but I mean, like, you personally, like, with health and some of that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, you know, you get to different, like, moments in your life where you're just like, you know, what do I want to do? I wasn't really a musician. I was a writer. I'd written a couple of books and like novels. And I kind of got to a point where I'd taken a year off to write a book. And in that entire year, I think I'd written maybe one chapter, but I'd written like 100 songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what, man, I want to start a rock band. And I remember telling my folks, and I'd been a writer, you know, it was like all I'd ever wanted to do ever since I was like a little kid. I was a writer. I'd always, you know, my mom would put like short stories I wrote up on the fridge. I was like, you know, entered essay contests. I was super like, you know, literary and all that. I'm really into books and stuff. And like, I remember telling my folks, I was like, you know what, I want to start a rock band. And they looked at me exactly as if I'd said I was going to join the circus.
Mm-hmm.
Like this like kind of like really like confused, like what? Like, you're going to, what?
Yep.
Like, yeah, you know, I know I was going to, like, do, I was going to go to this, like, artist colony and finish the novel and whatever, blah, blah, blah. And instead, I'm going to start a rock band because I'd met our drummer. I was like, I met a really good drummer. And it was as if I said, like, you know what, I'm going to become a knife thrower or I'm going to train elephants or, you know, and I'm just going to hit the road with the circuit. They looked like I was crazy. Everyone thought I was crazy.
I love that they went with you with writer, because that's a pretty difficult occupation as well. They're like, we were with you as far as being a writer goes, but musician, come on!
Well, it was something that I'd spent a long time on, and I'd just been doing my whole life. And by the time, you know, I made that decision, I'd already been published a bunch, and it was just kind of like, it was understood. Everyone just kind of knew that was like my thing, you know? And so, like, to be able to switch like that was just, I think it was just confusing to them. I mean, I was never going to be the kind of guy that worked in an office. I'm just, like, I can't be under fluorescent light. I shrivel. It's like, I freak out, and I got to get the hell out of there. I'm not the kind of guy that could do a corporate gig. And I think they always knew that.
What do you like doing besides doing the music thing? Like, say, you know, you got a brand new album that's out. You're done touring for a little while. You get a good month of you time. What are you doing?
Well, usually coming home from the road, because we just finished about a 3-month run, it takes me a good 10 days just to be able to sit still, because our shows are crazy. Our shows are, we like to flirt with disaster every single night. You know, mm-hmm. I like to climb on things, and they're usually like jumping in the crowd and screaming and crazy. It's like the whole point of punk rock is that it's like, not that we're a punk band, but that there's like this idea in rock and roll that like you have to flirt with disaster. It has to maybe all go terribly wrong.
Well, and I remember
it's going to maybe go all terribly wrong, then you're not really at a rock and roll show. And so it usually takes me a good 10 days to just calm down from that mentality. And then, I don't know, you know, I do the things other people do. I think I hang with friends and family, and I read, you know, I like to run.
You like to run? Like, do you ever do like running things like a half marathon or 5K, that kind of stuff, or just casual?
Yeah, like 5K, 10K kind of stuff. And I used to be like a competitive athlete. And these days I just, you know, run for fun.
Did you run in college or what kind of competition?
Yeah, I ran in college. I ran on the track team, cross country team at my college.
What was your event?
5K and 10K.
There you go.
I know, it's so like, it's all very like, I loved it, man. I loved just, there was a group of us, everyone's just kind of like oddball characters, and you would put on a pair of shoes and just go run 20 miles, and I loved the idea that you didn't need anything, just you and your feet, you know, go anywhere in the world that you wanted, and we were all like these like super, super gaunt, because you know, you run 20 miles, and you get really skinny, super, super gaunt, kind of oddball guys, always in like running shoes, and we would just, that's all we ever did was run. It was great. It was fun.
What's your running shoe? Do you know what kind?
I've been running barefoot lately, and it was funny. We played in because it's, you know, I kind of split my time between Asics and barefoot, and you know, we were in Aspen of all places. So Aspen is like 50 miles from the nearest town in the middle of the mountains, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're up there doing some kind of, you know, festival type gigs. And I went for a barefoot run through the woods, you know, and it was beautiful. I was running along this creek and this trail, and you feel really like atavistic. You're just like this warrior, you know. You're just like, I just want to run down like an elk and bite its neck. And so I'm out there running, and I come out, and I'm running up the path, and I saw this guy, and I must have looked crazy, you know, because I'm just like this bear, my feet are covered in mud, and I'm running up the path, and I'm coming out of the mountain. And I'd only run about 8 miles or something, but it looks like I'm coming out of nowhere, right? And this guy's on this path, and I'm about a mile from Aspen. And I run up to him, and I go like this. I go, hey, brother, let me ask you something. Just exactly like that, because I'm trying to mess with his head. And he goes, yeah, he kind of looks at me playing. I'm like, hey, is Aspen up this way? That town of Aspen? He's like, yeah, this way. I was like, oh, thanks, brother. Gave me the weirdest look, like you just saw Bigfoot.
That's awesome. I've never tried that, because like I'm such a wuss. Like the littlest pebbles with bare feet for me, I'm like, you know, it's like someone drove a nail through my foot. I run a ton, but I'm
getting used to it. That you did it for like a month, even just walking around, you know, like your feet lose that kind of like that super sensitivity pretty quickly.
Nice. Have you ever tried?
I can give you a whole boring like speech about how like the human foot is designed to actually interact with the ground, you know, without shoes on, and shoes actually hamper the natural ability of the human foot, which is a kind of an engineering marvel. But I'll spare that right now, because again, we're off the topic of rock and roll. I'm supposed to be talking about like sex and drugs and loud music and things like that.
I'm not any good at any of that stuff. Neither sex nor drugs, or even rock and roll. As a matter of fact,
what you excel at. You know, it's important to know that.
It is going back to the running thing. It is fascinating, because they do like those studies of like the African people and the you know, how they can run so fast, and how, you know, they don't have like the back and other kind of problems because of the natural contour of their foot and using.
Right. Well, it's because like, you know, the human foot has an arch, and the arch is actually supposed to flex down. And what that does is it cushions you in a way, not the way that we think of cushioning, but a type of cushioning. That actually, and plus your stride is different. That makes your that's actually how your musculature is set up to interact with the ground. And that what shoes do is make you walk in a way that's awkward and not really part of the natural human gait. But then, you know, if you walk around barefoot, you look like a jerk.
Who's that jerk with no shoes on?
Yeah, weird barefoot guy. You know, like, who's that guy?
Mikel and the rest of Airborne Toxic Event going to be at the Big Ass Show. There, that's enough rock and roll. You can get tickets.
Yeah, that was good. I thought that we covered enough topics to qualify it. I think that was like a pretty non-rock and roll interview, I got to say. I enjoyed it.
Good.
I guess they could talking about, you know, like, yeah, man, and then the night before that, it was like just madness. We were so drunk.
You can get tickets at Smith Ticks. See him in town. You know, the thing is, though, now as I see you play on stage, I'm going to be like, he doesn't want to wear those shoes. He's wearing those shoes because the man tells him he has to wear those shoes. He doesn't want to be a jerk with no shoes on.
It's actually true. It's our secret. Don't tell anybody.
I won't tell a single person except for everyone who listens to this.
I'm like such a geek, dude. I can't even tell you. I don't want anyone to know.
It's between you and me. August 24th.
Yeah, whoever thousands of people listening.
It's August 24th. It's the Big Ass Show. Tickets at Smith Ticks, and get more information at x96.com. Mikel, I'll see you when you come to town, all right?
Yeah, looking forward to it. Good talking to you, brother.
Thanks, man.